Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Join Carol as she shares her knowledge on a topic of interest to everyone, money. On the show, Carol will discuss starting and running a microbusiness, teaching your kids about money, and managing money in a homeschool organization. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Well, hi, everybody. This is Carol Topp. I'm the host of the Dollars and Cents Show. Welcome to episode number 29, How Can I Help My Child Become an Entrepreneur? Recently, I was asked to gather a panel of parents of teenage entrepreneurs, teenagers who had started their own microbusiness, and I got a chance to ask them a series of questions such as, how did your students come up with an idea for a microbusiness? When did you step in? What is the parent's role in encouraging entrepreneurship? And what kind of tips do you have for them? So I think you'll really enjoy hearing these three parents on the panel. They're talking to a group of entrepreneurship educators, mostly teachers at high school and college level. So you hear occasionally a few questions from the audience as well. Thanks so much. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And of course, if you have a potential entrepreneur, you'll want to visit microbusinessforteens.com, my website where I offer products, resources, so you can encourage the entrepreneurship in your child. So I hope you enjoy the show. Thanks so much. I'm going to give you a little background because even my panelists here, which are our three parents, were asking me, how did I get started? I'm a certified public accountant, a CPA. Cincinnati's my hometown, so welcome to Cincinnati. I hope you try Cincinnati chili, right? Love it or hate it, but it's what we're famous for, and Grater's ice cream. But as a CPA, several years back, I think I was looking through some records. I can't remember. Bob's son Philip was about 15, and Bob's wife Chris called me one day, she was a friend of mine, and said, Carol, my son Philip has been getting checks from Google every month for the ads on his website. And I thought, well, that's great. You know, what a nice small microbusiness this 15-year-old has. And she said, no, Carol, you don't understand. The checks from Google are $1,000 a month. He was 15, and she said, I think he might owe taxes. And she was right, he did. So I met with Philip, I became his accountant, I figured out what he was doing, and he was very successful at generating revenue through ads on his website, which was called Free Forums, became freeforums.org, which you can still look, it's still out there today. But he didn't know a lot about record keeping and taxes and those things that I helped him with. And as I helped him, I realized there was kind of a vacuum of information. So I wrote a book series called Microbusiness for Teens. Okay. So I have some questions I'm going to feed to them. You guys can raise your hand at any time and elaborate on these questions, but we're going to start obviously with introductions. Then we're going to talk about what was the parents' role? Did they interfere? When did they need to interfere? Or when did they need to stay out? We're going to talk about how they encouraged entrepreneurships. What was their role? What advice do they have? What would they do differently? Okay, any other questions you want to ask of parents of entrepreneurs? But first, we're going to introduce them. So, Bob, why don't you start? Tell us about you, your family, Philip, and what his business was. Although okay. I stole your thunder a little bit.
Talk a little bit about Philip. Philip started when he was 12. It was kind of a school project, building a computer for his grandparents. So this was going to be their first computer. So kind of with a how-to book, and about 400 hours later, you know, he kind of put together a computer, and that was what really got him kind of in the technology space. But his interests really blossomed playing a video game. It was Age of Empires. And he managed a website forum for Age of Empires. That led to him co-founding, at the age of 14, a web business that was doing forums for different players on the Age of Empires, you know, software. So that kind of expanded a little bit, and they were getting a lot of doing this website, managing it, and it was just fun for him, and it was great, and it was a passion. It really didn't become work until we kind of sat down with him and said, hey, you need to start making some money. So he kind of put that together. He then, when he was, I think it was about 17, went on his own, started freeforms.org, became one of the top 100 websites out there on the internet as far as traffic goes, made a lot of advertising revenue. His passion at the time was, of course, you know, Google. He followed the Google guys, and Google was really big then. So did a lot during the high school, went on to UC, kept his business at UC. In between there, had some offers to buy, and basically eventually sold his business for about $1.2 million. You know, when he was at UC.
21 at the time?
He was 21 at the time, sophomore at UC. Still stays in very involved with mentoring people and startups, doing some things. Right now, he's at Mountain View, Silicon Valley, with Google. He loves his job. He's passionate about what he does there. He works with, he's a mid-market strategist and works with high-growth companies to kind of help them develop revenue for advertising strategies. So talk a little bit maybe more in more details, but kind of a little bit of his background. He's got a younger brother that's kind of, you know, went a different path kind of in the marketing co-op at UC and, you know, doing very well on that side as well.
And has a job offer for...
Yes, and before he graduates. So.
Nice.
Good. Okay, and we have Suzanne Eversall. Tell us about your family and your son, what he did, and where he's at now.
Oh, okay. Well, Ethan, he, like I was sharing with Jennifer, I've noticed from very early on, he always had the entrepreneurship way about him where he's always thinking up ideas. And, well, we had taken a class with Carol, the first class you taught, and we just loved it. She was actually able to help him take his idea and make it more real, where, you know, you think up so many different ideas, but how to take one idea and kind of run with it. And his was teaching guitar, beginning guitar, to younger students at an affordable price. And he is currently at boot camp in the Marines in South Carolina, Parris Island. And his goal in life is still to one day own his own business. He still has the passion for marketing, loves marketing.
Mm-hmm.
Loves it.
Good for him.
Yeah, I love that about him. It's fun. And
well, I remember once, what I did in this class she's talking about, there were a dozen students. We met 1 hour a week, mm-hmm. and they did their homework, came back with the workbook assignment, and we talked about it. And each student ran their own business. And they were simple businesses.
And I remember the businesses could either be real or they could be, you were really good the way you set up that class because you could help them see it. You made them, they could be real or they could really go or not.
Yeah.
You know, fictitious. But
I tried to encourage
still,
real. But some kids were so overloaded at the time. I remember one girl saying, you know, this is like the second week into class, oh, Mrs. Top, are we really going to start a business? Yeah, it's called Micro Business for Teens. And she was just super busy at the time. She was involved in a theatrical production, and she said, I just can't. I said, it's all right. The next semester, she started, and she's featured in the video, she started offering ballet lessons in her basement for girls. So it was the kind of thing they could take the idea and run with it later.
Something we definitely, you saw in the kids as young, that what are you good at now? What are
now?
And go with that.
Not too pie in the sky. Mm-hmm. I want him to learn now. And I remember Ethan coming up to me about 6 months or a year after he had started the guitar lessons, and he was so excited. He's like, Mrs. Tom, I'm making, he had a lot of students at that time, but he was making like...
Three students, you guys. It doesn't sound like a whole lot of students. But when you're a student
100 bucks
himself.
A month. He was happy with that. He paid for his
and
own
he was
cell
young.
Phone, right?
He
was 14.
Oh,
couldn't
even
get a job at the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right. Let's introduce Jennifer. And you want to introduce this guy?
My son's Jonah. He's Carol's virtual assistant now.
In real life today.
and he got her, before it was a book we were talking about, it was your CD. We were at a homeschool convention right next door at Duke Energy. And we're looking at all the different booths, and he said, you know, I think I might want to do that. And I said,
You know, he was 12.
He was 12, and I thought, I got to buy a lot of other curriculum for school and stuff. I'm not sure how much I want to put in investment. I said, well, if you'll put your own allowance into it, and I planned on paying it back. I wanted to see where his dedication was. Yes, I really want it. And so then we got done with the conference that day, and he was like, okay. It was like 12 o'clock. We were winding down in the hotel, and he was like, I want to fill it all out. I want to go down to the computer center area. Can we just fill it all out? I'm like, oh, I'm just really kind of tired. And he's like, no, I want to do it, and I want to take it back to her the next day. And so he did. And so he kind of springboarded from that, but it was for iPhone apps.
Yeah.
And so he went on to create an iPhone app for my uncle and a couple that were non-for-profit for just people. And then also he wanted to get involved in with film production. So he was figuring out a way that he could go down and utilize our Anderson Township film services.
Studio.
And then he went and was starting to film different community events and stuff. So that was kind of where he's got his start. And then now he's doing Money Making Millennials. He's created a podcast, and so he's going to be looking into affiliate marketing and finding different ways. Yeah, monetizing through passive income.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. Okay. Okay. First question, and again, bring out your own. But basically, how did they pick this business? And did they, was it their idea or yours? And did they ask for your feedback, parents?
Yes, it was their idea. It was his idea. I don't think a 13, 14-year-old really wants feedback from their parents. I mean, he was in front of the computer, and spending a lot of time there. And I don't think that he wanted me to tell him spend less time there. But certainly, we kind of knew that it was a passion. It was something that he got a lot of joy, and there was opportunities. We just believe as part of the education process of our kids is that when they love something, feed it, encourage it. And so it was get some books, get some things online, get really, really encourage that type of learning. And so that's really at that age when they first started, it was very, much supportive of what they do. I think I mentioned when they were 15, he was 15, it was kind of time to get a job. And we said, well, you need to get a job. Think about Kroger's, bagging groceries, fast food. What kind of job do you want to get to make money? And he just like, really just didn't want to do it, wanted to stay with what he had. So at that time, Google was really popular as far as putting ads on websites. And so he approached us and said, do you mind if I try to just put some ads on my website and see where I go with it? And we said, sure, that's great. But you got to make about $500 this summer. And he says, okay. Well, by the end of the summer, he had made $3,000, off the websites. So not only did his eyes open up, but certainly ours did too, that, there was something that he's passionate about and he could make some money.
Suzanne, we can keep going down the line.
Yeah,
you can jump in
right.
Whenever. But yeah, your idea or Ethan's?
We brainstormed together. Again, uh-huh. He was taking the class. We talk about what are you good at? What can you do now? Remember, for us, it needed to be simple with where we were with our life and school. And I said, you need to do something you're good at. And he was good at guitar. He had already, been far enough. He had done, I said, you had done book one and two. You can teach book one and two.
Right.
And keep it simple and have younger students. It's, and he did. He went with it. But it was, we brainstormed together.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Cool.
Jenna's always been tech savvy, and my husband's into computers, and so he helped him for a science fair, take apart a computer, explain the whole thing. So we kind of knew that he was going to be in the tech kind of field with computers and that kind of stuff. So then when he came to us and said that he wanted to do, well, first he had my uncle's computer that had a password on it that needed to be cracked, and my uncle gave it to him. It was an old Apple computer. And so we said, sure, go ahead and take it. We're going to do this big thing, but within a year, he had gone online, and so we just gave him resources, either go to the library and get books or whatever he needed to do to try to figure out a way to crack this code. And he went and he came back and said, I did it. And so now he had this computer to use. So he tinkered around with that, and then, one of the big things was the iPhones and iPhone apps, so and the QR codes.
Yeah.
So he created a QR code for my uncle. He figured all that out, formatted it, and then also went on to develop a iPhone app. I think it's $100 to go get the class or the certification and whatever you need to get, do to get the iPhone app. And so we just kind of moved along with that. And then also with the filming, when he thought he was kind of going to go in that area, we just took him down to the our local area of TV production and just let him take all those classes for free and then learn how to use a computer or and bought him a...
Video camera.
Oh, yeah. Video camera to go start practicing with it.
So you kind of answered my next question. What was your role? So your role is to see what he's interested in, and you were, what, finding these resources?
Yeah, I was just going out and finding the resources, letting him find the resources himself, coming back, and he'd field them to me is kind of like what I say. We'd field them and say, does this work? Yeah, I can go. We can dedicate this much time. Let's go on a Saturday. What are their hours? Let's get your school done first. You get your school done, then I considered that lab work. So anything else was like extra lab work towards his passion. And then we would just get books at the library, you know, Kindle books, whatever we had, and we just kind of go through some of the books together when I had time. And then he would just come back and just, you know, give me all the information, and we take it from there.
Cool. Bob, what was your role in Philip's business?
You know, a big part of the role was, as a parent, it was to encourage. We really looked at some of the milestones that he hit or some of the accomplishments. Part of what he did to help build the business that he started as freeforms.org, he would flip some websites. So we would buy some websites, he would build up the traffic, build up the advertising revenue, and then he would put it out there to sell. And he would make significant money. In high school, he was selling mosquito ringtones to make some money. So, you know, by then he was kind of moving forward with it, but it was really to share in those milestones, make him help to recognize that he accomplished some things. And so it was putting some things out there. We made him some tombstones, and these are just little things.
Plaques or
little,
like
little plaques.
Yeah, I remember visiting your house once and showed me what you brought.
But just little things that really kind of he could have on his desk, and it really would focus on whether it was a website that he bought or he reached a certain level of traffic. You know, it was kind of out there in front of him, so it was encouraging. The other really role that we had, and we shared this with also one of the teachers that he had in high school. They had an entrepreneur class at Madeira High School in Cincinnati here, and that class was very important to him. That instructor really encouraged, really helped him. He could have somebody other than just his parents to dialogue with. And we recognized that, too, that we needed to put him with some advisors. So I set him up with some advisors that were really in the technology space, places where I didn't really know, but I knew he knew where he was going. And, you know, that was very, very important for him to just have advisors. Carol was the first advisor, what to do with his money and how to save it with taxes. I mean, you got to remember, he couldn't even vote yet, and he's got, you know, a tax obligation that, you know, he's having to deal with. So it was really putting him in front of some of these advisors that could steer him, value the business, that could also give him kind of a way to kind of paint that strategy and vision for the future. And that was probably the most important thing. And then just knowing that we were always there if he had a question. Again, we didn't really push to say, what are you doing? But he knew we were there to help.
Okay, let me ask Suzanne the same question, then we'll see if you guys have any questions. What was your role in Ethan's business?
My role was to help him stay organized to his schedule. In the beginning, it was how to deal with, you know, parents. And
parents
he was
of the
so
students of the
Parents of the
students,
how to speak with them. I would kind of sit back sometimes and listen from another room how he was dealing with the student. And if I had a suggestion later, you know, I would wait until it was over.
Okay.
You know,
private.
I didn't, always in private. Yeah. But over time, I didn't need to do much except for the schedule. And if he wanted more students, I would ask him, do you want me to advertise more? Are you too busy? And I always help. I did do most of the talking with the parent and the scheduling because I'm the calendar mom, you know?
Yeah.
I'm the one that lets the kids, you know, we put everything on the calendar. The kids are very busy. But... yeah, that and advertisement.
Yeah, to your network of other parents.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I would advise, like, I think eventually we did go up a dollar.
No.
You know, because he had been doing it for quite a while.
For
I know.
Hour.
Well, you don't want to. You're trying to keep it affordable.
Right.
That was our point.
All right. Okay. What questions do you have so far? I've got more, but go ahead. Do you have any questions? Yeah.
We heard a guy last night talk about entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
And he spoke highly on experiences for kids rather than school. Did school ever become secondary because of their passion in what they were great at for one thing?
That's a great question.
And did it ever become a concern on your part as do you have a safety net?
Does the student have a safety net? Is that what you're asking?
Make sure you graduate college.
And then,
let's get through high school.
That's a good question.
Even though you're amazing at this,
right.
What if it doesn't fall out as a parent? How did you, especially, well, you have one in college now.
Right.
So, and I'm sure you
and
have.
Philip finished. I mean, he went through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that is absolutely a great question. And that is something that, you know, you struggled with and you evaluated. You know, in our head, and I don't take this the wrong way, we kind of looked at it and said, don't let school get in the way of your education. You know, And so what we did was, you know, Philip was working. He had a team of people. So he had people in the Philippines,
oh gosh,
he had people
Russia.
In the Ukraine.
Yeah.
That were the programmers. Yeah, that were really the programmers and stuff like this. So he was up sometimes till 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and then he had to get up and go to school. And so the beautiful part was we sat down, we did get involved with the teachers and the administration and superintendent at the school system and said, you know, can we adjust his classes so that he could come in late and still get that education? But we were also not concerned with grades. We were concerned with making sure that he had something here that he was passionate about. He knew where it was going to go, where it could go. Let the experiences drive that education. So we did believe that, you know, high school was a big part to the next level. But he ended up being in high school, I think, a B student. But when he went on to college was a different thing. College was something that it clicked with him as far as he was more mature as far as the education part. And, you know, he graduated in the honors, magna cum laude. I mean, he really focused in on the academics of the class as well as the experiences. And for Philip, I say, was there a backup plan? No, I think you always knew that college would help you, but it's still, what's that knowledge in your head? What are the experience you learn? That's what's going to take you to the next idea or the next job or the next.
Well, and Philip started out in marketing, mm-hmm. and then he switched to finance.
Switched to finance.
And for a while, he was kind of interested in combating white-collar crime, right?
Yeah, he had kind of a passion to maybe go into the FBI.
Yeah.
You know, and finance was a big kind of prereq.
Things change, and he wanted to go to Stanford, following mm-hmm. the Google guys again. And he ended up working for them instead of school. But yeah, so there were several plan Bs that Philip had back there, right? I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. He had kind of different ways that he saw career paths that he would go. I mean, one of the career paths was even to not go to college right away, take a year off, and continue with his freeforms.org.
Yeah.
And although we encourage that, I will say that there was an entrepreneur scholarship that he received, and that's what really moved him to go back into college and run the business while he was in college. And then he knew when he kind of lost the passion or the energy to the site that he would look to sell, but he had received several offers from the first year that he started it to the third year before he sold it. You know.
So let's see, your original question, repeat that again. It was kind of about, oh yeah, did school get in the way? Right.
I was just going to add to that. I've got a senior. I've got a senior, which is Jonah. And it can get kind of tricky at different times, but I think it's about the passion, absolutely about the passion and going and finding education everywhere you turn, whether it be a seminar that you see. He's been taking Creative Live classes. They're free, and you go online, and it's any type of business stuff, and then you network with different people, and he's been getting connected with that, and you talk to him live while the classes are going on. So as long as we homeschool. So as long as he gets his school done during the day, or we can, if there's a class, like a Creative Live class that's during a certain part of the day, then it's like, okay, well, you either school the night before, and we work with you to get your classes done, or you'll have to school over the weekend, which is about balancing your schedule, which we look at that as that's what you're going to have to do if you go into college. And it's all about managing your time and finding out what your passions are. So, again, going where your passion lies and then just kind of tweaking what those interests are from, like, quarter to quarter, year to year.
Anything you want to add, Suzanne?
Obviously, this was not his career path, you know,
right,
teaching music, but it did definitely help with learning to manage his time. I remember that was a really big deal for Ethan, and it was helpful.
And but, people skills.
But, yeah, so.
So, do you still consider them entrepreneurs? They've moved.
Right.
They're at a different stage now. So are they entrepreneurial? Are they intrapreneurial? What's going on with them as you reflect in terms of where they are right now?
Another good question. I think they still are, because I think it's a mindset, and it's really something that, you know, when you raise somebody, you kind of see how they think and how they build and how they look at problems and how they look at things. So I think they continue to be entrepreneurs. I think it's just, what is that next step? And I see it in my son already is, you know, Google is a stepping stone to what he's going to be doing next. And it's building that experience that will help him in his next venture. So I think it is about experiences. They'll continue to be entrepreneurs. They think like entrepreneurs, and they take risk more than other people do. And that's what really kind of set him when we looked at his kind of career path in the entrepreneur side. It's about taking risk.
I want to definitely say it is, you can tell when your student is a risk taker. But for Ethan, he never stops thinking like that. His mind is always going. He was like that from a child. I was sharing with you earlier that he was always thinking up little ideas before we kind of set into one idea. And I know he'll continue to be that way. And his goal in life is to serve his country, have college, and then have, you know, start his own business. And he doesn't even know what that is at the moment, but he knows that's his passion in life, what he would like to do. So I don't think it ever stops. I think it's kind of who they are. He even thinks about his younger brother and what he could do to pull his younger brother along. He said, we could be in business together. We would be so good together. He just thinks like that all the time, which I think is wonderful.
More than 50% of teenagers were unemployed last summer. Are you a teenager who needs some money but can't find a job? You can earn money by starting a business, and Micro Business for Teens will show you how. You'll learn how to come up with a great idea, test it, and avoid common pitfalls. Discover the secrets to success, put into action what you learn, and before long, you'll be raking in the profits. Check out Micro Business for Teens website for ideas and profiles of teenagers who are running their own micro businesses. Visit microbusinessforteens.com and get started earning money today.
Okay. What was the most difficult thing for your student?
I would say probably the big thing was balance in life, in his life. When he was in high school, it was school. He did play varsity baseball, but it was school, work. And work was, you could remember, it was about 60, 70 hours a week. That's how much he put into it. And then, of course, his only balance was he'd have his dog when he felt like, you know, spending some time with him. But that was the biggest challenge, you know, and as a parent. Now he has so much, you know, balance in his life because we kind of focused that early on in high school. You know, he's got friends, he exercises, he does activities, he's learning to fly. He even has a world record with Guinness. He happens to be the fastest eating a jelly donut with no hands. So,
you can see it on YouTube.
He's got some great balance.
Pretty darn impressive there. Bob, you're so proud of that. Did he get a plaque for that, Bob?
He did. He's in the Guinness Book of World Records.
Absolutely. That's worth a plaque. Balance is really big, but I'm really, for me, I'm all about balance. And especially being a stay-at-home mom, balance is very important with, you know, three children or more or less, their activities, what they're into, and so I stress not taking on more than your student can handle or your household, because you don't want them to fail. You don't want them to sink. And so balance was very big for us.
I'll go back to what the comment that he made about schools not always being able to like more or less let them, a child, think and grow on their own, kind of, I'm paraphrasing. And I guess that's another tricky thing too, is just realizing when all those things are bombarding you and the way you're seeing the bend of your child go, is to continue to keep that passion and that learning alive and new, thinking outside the box. That's really big for entrepreneurs, and just saying, well, if this doesn't work, let's not give up on this, and just kind of being a cheerleader for your child, and again, not giving up on that education. And if you can't find it one way, then finding it another, whether it be through the library, finding an entrepreneur. Jonah participated in a Jumpstart Weekend, first of its kind at NKU, and he filled out a scholarship by doing an essay, and he won that out of like 200 kids. He was like one of 25 or something, and so he went for that weekend. And just, again, finding more mentors beside yourself and your husband or a certain teacher, and then moving on and just finding resources for them to keep that those creative juices flowing.
My next question is, when should a parent step in? Well, you have a situation where you had to step in.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you want to share, but, you know. You
which one was
me.
That?
Oh, yeah, a couple of them. Yeah, you called me. You had to talk to an attorney at some point.
Yeah, you know, we had some, certainly, I don't know how you do things short. There are times to step in, and I think the main thing is to be approachable to that they feel comfortable. There were times where Philip's business was on the brink of crashing down, and everything that he had invested in it in time would be worth nothing. And these were times where it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and you know, you're coming down and you're seeing your son in tears, and but you knew that he knew how to get out of it. He had to focus and work to do it. He knew what he had to do better than I did. So for me, it was about support. It was there. He's also had times where his business partner, when he first started, before he started Freeforms, he was co-founder. So for 3 years, he worked with another boy just a year older than he was. Together, they did great stuff. They were just the best of friends. And the lesson Philip learned in this is get it in writing. We could not get them to set up a partnership, and it was mainly the father on the other end would not agree to do in a 50-50 kind of partnership. And basically that partnership, that's one reason why Philip, you know, spun off and did his own thing, was because he was being marginalized. Philip was the business marketing kind of revenue driver. This guy was the programmer. And they just believed that, you know, it was time to go different paths. But, you know, what do you do with the assets when you have that? So they had a lot of assets, and, you know, you get attorneys, and that's when you step in, you know, to try to bring some resolution to it. But it was a tough lesson for him, and it was a lesson that he had to learn. And to this day, it's changed him, and it's changed his younger brother, because he knows he went through that.
Yeah, for us it was more dealing with the parents or the student. And I remember one incident where I didn't have to step in. It worked itself out. He had a difficult student, and the student was dyslexic. And I could hear them even in the other room where it just wasn't even, they weren't hearing each other. It just wasn't working out. I asked him, would you like me to go to the parent and help you discuss this with the parent? And even the student was not so, you know, nice to Ethan. He had an attitude. But it was not easy. But it was beyond Ethan, because Ethan was so new at learning to teach students. But it worked itself out. It really did.
So did he talk to the parent, or did
he? We never had to. I think the student decided he was done.
Okay.
And well, he did, and we were done with that student. But we didn't have to. But we talked about, and I used to remind him, you know, he's dyslexic. He's just not seeing things the way you're seeing it. It's where you were going to have to work with the parent a little more.
Yeah.
So he did learn that, but we didn't go that route. That's about the only time we had to, I thought I may have to step in. Otherwise, everything went pretty well, you know.
Good. I'd say mine comes back to time and balancing for Jonah with doing the podcasting that he does and getting the interviews. So it would be more about the late nights, because if he was interviewing somebody in Israel, time change differences. So kind of looking at him and saying, okay, your light's still on, and you need to get your other school done, and then you have your other job you're working on for Carol. So how are you going to balance this schedule if you stay up late tonight? I don't mind if you stay up maybe tonight if it's really crucial to get that podcast out, or can you push that podcast off because you really need to be getting that sleep? You don't want to continue to throw off your sleep, because we're about balance and keeping your health together so that you're not too tired or halt. Too hungry, too angry, too lonely or tired is what we do in our family. So.
What? Halt? Hungry?
Halt, yes.
What are they hungry again?
Never get too hungry, too angry, too lonely, or too tired.
That's good.
Tired's a big one.
Yeah.
You've kind of touched on this, but if there's any more thoughts, how do you encourage? Let's talk in general. How do parents, this might be a good question for the teachers too, but how do parents in general encourage entrepreneurship or entrepreneurial thinking? How do you encourage it?
You know, again, I think, we kind of touched on it. I think it's really just, the passion that they have, feed it, give them the space, encourage it, give them the recognition, the rewards, and if they need help, we can help them.
Yeah.
So I like the recognition and awards. That's a great way to encourage entrepreneurship. Keep going.
Yeah, and let them, it is their ideas and just encouragement. Ethan, I had asked him, well, I knew I may be doing this, so before he left, I asked him, I said, what would you like to say?
Yeah.
And he just, put it pretty simply, and he said, words of advice are always good. He does, he did want input on the things that he does. Whether he does it or not, our way is a different story. But he said support and encouragement, and he said it helps him. It helped him to stay excited, and you guys like to be excited about what you're doing. You're excited, so you want us to be excited with you. That's how I felt, yeah.
So I would add in with the time element, and with the passion, the time. Each of our kids, and I've got four, so they're all fighting.
Right.
I got a lot of entrepreneurs coming up in the wings, and they're watching Jonah. So they're like, and the Books on the Banks is going on over there, and they're like, well, I want to get my book in. I can write a children's book. So I've got two kids that are sparring to write a children's book. So just as they see an older child going on, and then just they see that you're getting excited. It's all about the excitement, and then.
But do you ever have to tone it down? Do you ever?
Oh,
feel like,
yeah, we're very loud in our family.
I mean, do they ever come up with so crazy an idea that you just say, no?
No, not along
not
those
like,
lines.
Okay, how do you say no to them? How do you channel them when they have a crazy idea? Just say, let's.
That's a good question. Because I have a daughter who's very young, and she thinks like her older brother, and she's constantly. Let's sell bows this week. We're going to make bows. And it's something different every other week. We're going to do this, and we're going to sell it. And right now it's been bows at the co-op. And
cute
little candy bag.
Is she making them and
selling them? She is.
Okay.
And, but I've told her she's kind of reached her customers are so few.
Easy to reach customers, yeah.
Well, she actually branched out on that. It wasn't just bows for the little girls. Then it was bows for your little animals. So she made little bows. I thought, okay, because what I mean is there are only so many people in our co-op.
Right.
Everyone's bought a bow now.
Right. So, she saturated the market.
But she does constantly want to create and sell.
It wears you out, though.
It does, because you have to be a part of it, and you have to make sure they're
when
doing
the younger
it
they
well.
Are,
you don't sell something. Yeah, because she's only 11.
Yeah.
And, if you're going to make a bow, you need to get in there and practice how to make a nice-looking bow. And
there you go.
You got to think about
so with business,
younger ones, yeah.
With business, we've been talking about ROIs, return on investment. So budget.
Good.
So it's like with each of the different kids, here's your budget, here's your lump sum. I've got a crafter. So if he wants to go out to Michael's, it's like, here's your money for that idea.
That's a good idea.
Let's see how well that sells. Then you could take that money from doing it and reinvest your money into something else.
Okay.
Or keep on investing
in
the same.
So you're kind of eliminating pie in the sky ideas by saying, well, I'm only giving you this much, or you only have this much in allowance, or or let's figure out what your return on investment might be. Yeah. I had 70 different bloggers work through micro business for teens with their students, and the feedback I got was it was so nice that the book made them think through pitfalls instead of mom and dad having to be the heavy and saying, well, the pitfall of that. So sometimes a curriculum, or sometimes the teacher in the classroom can use the curriculum for the student to find the pitfalls in their ideas rather than you being a wet blanket on it. Because you want them.
Carol's the heavy.
Yeah, you can blame me. Oh, I can take it. I'm distant. Okay. What would you advise other parents?
You know, I think it's they've got an idea, encourage it. And work with teachers, the more people that can encourage it and help maybe knock down any kind of obstacles that you might see out there. Change some of the way, you know, the status quo as far as education goes. You know, sitting down with our high school and just seeing if they would make this, they were so supportive of it.
That's nice.
They just didn't have an idea of what was going on. So it was great that we saw education kind of make changes, but it's about just support it, encourage it, feed it. You know, they might move on to a different thing. I mean, for him, it was Legos, Brio, it was video games, but it moved on to something else, and I think you just encourage it.
Encouragement. Mm-hmm. I second that.
Third it.
Mm-hmm. See their passion.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything you would do differently?
I just think, you know, what Philip learned was a very valuable lesson was, you know, get it in writing. And I think, you know, working with a CPA, working with a lawyer, really, and it's never too early to just make sure that you protect when you feel that it's really a valuable asset. You know, that's probably an important thing. And
but you know what? I mean, you probably wouldn't trade the experience, though, would you?
Well, you wouldn't. So it wouldn't much. Have happened. We wouldn't have recognized that had it not happened. And that's part of the entrepreneurship.
Yeah. So I have, because of Philip's experience, I really discourage partnerships for teenagers, for those underage, because of the legal and the emotional. They're not friends anymore.
I remember that
right?
In your
They're
class.
Not friends. So, and that's sad.
I remember that
because
in class.
Business got in the way of that friendship. And teenagers have a tendency to pick their friends to do business with. They're not good at seeing skill sets. Mm-hmm. So I just discourage partnerships. I discourage them for grown-ups too. To be perfectly honest, you know, as a CPA, I just walk away. Walk away unless you're, you know, other lawyers in a partnership or doctors. Those are about the only ones who hire lawyers. Seriously, it's just partnerships. I say partnerships are like being married, but you're not in love. You don't want to, and it's easy to get into. And the boys did with a verbal agreement. Easy to get into. Takes an attorney to get out of. Just like divorce. Just like marriage. Easy to get into. Hard to get out of. So I just really discourage partnerships for teenagers. I really like the idea of each teenager owning their own business because they're going to learn the most that way, even if it's very small, like just teaching guitar lessons for a little while. Any advice, Jennifer, you want to share? Anything you do differently?
Can't think of a whole lot differently right
okay.
now.
That's good.
Other than maybe check out different classes or different, but pretty much it's just kind of like a trial and error. Nothing's been too bad of an error yet that we've had to work our way out of it.
Yeah, Jonah, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I wouldn't trade any of it. You could think about doing something differently, but then, in all honesty, like there was one time when I was working on Carol's website, and I didn't realize that I should have backed up the site, and I completely destroyed the site.
And I was away at a conference.
Yeah.
And I get this, fortunately I was up at 11 p.m. when you
forgot
texted
about
me.
That.
Yeah.
And you were like panicked.
Yeah.
I could tell in your text. And then you
never
and then
panics
I called,
with stuff like that either.
Or you call, and I thought, well, it's funny, Jonah texted me at 11 p.m., I guess I better call. Or you tried to call me or something. And your dad got on the phone.
Yeah.
I think because you were probably a little too upset.
Yeah.
So that's a good time when
that
you
was,
step in.
Yeah.
When your teenager crashes somebody else's, like their client's website, you might want to step in. But we were okay with it. I think you needed some password or something to get on, or a help desk or something.
We talked with her web hosting, and they had a backup. But that's something I learned from that, you know, being careful with different things, especially when working with a client, being careful, making sure you have security things in place. And I wouldn't have learned if that mistake hadn't happened. So I think every mistake that you make, you learn from.
You know, this is one thing Dave Knox at the Brandery said in the keynote last night, is that basically we have to have a mindset of letting them fail, because failure produces more learning. And fail in, it was not a big deal. I mean, for the website to go down, I knew we could get it back. I wasn't as panicked as you were. I was at a conference. conference, so it would have been convenient to have it up because I was going to refer to it the next day, like, go check out my website, but, you know, it wasn't too bad. But, yeah, you learn so much through failures, and it's nice when there's small failures in a micro business when they're teenagers or young people, rather than when they have, you know, income and a mortgage and a family to support or something like that, right?
You're absolutely right. Failure becomes part of it. It's trial and error. It's, you know, but it's let them go. They've got the vision. I mean, an entrepreneur, they've got the vision. They know what it takes. Just let them go.
Okay. I've got, yeah, yeah.
And my daughter is, I only have one child because a year old, but I'm thinking down
the
road,
like,
what are the characteristics that you would see at a very young age, or how would you expose them to these kind of opportunities when they're very young?
You know, just great question. I, our son started 12 because for whatever reason we decided this was going to be a school project as far as doing a computer. I think more so today because the younger they are, they have cell phones, computers access, and stuff like this. It is earlier than that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but again, it's the passion they have towards something. That's what you look for.
Yes.
Because, you know, A, that's what's going to drive them, what they enjoy doing during life, as opposed to, it might not turn into a business, but if they enjoy and they have that passion, encourage it. If they, the biggest thing you can do as they start growing up, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, 10 years, when they love something, feed it. Go get books. Go get videos. Take them to places. If it's history they love, take them to Williamsburg, you know, and just feed it. Because the world is their classroom and their
right.
business. And just don't forget it.
Jonah was 7 and he wanted a thumb drive for his birthday. So we knew we were onto something there. And I'm like, that's cheap, you know. That's a great birthday gift. So he got it. You know, that's what we channeled and went into.
It actually wasn't cheap at the time. It was like, it was expensive.
They can't be.
Well, you know, and our son on the side, kind of that balance thing. I mean, he, since he was probably 6, loved airplanes. Wanted to fly posters in his room type of thing, you know. Never did. He's now out in California learning how to fly. So it's a passion. By feeding it, by making it part of his life, he will take it with him and find that opportunity later on. And you can say by encouraging that, you gave him a part of that life.
Well, this is Carol Topp again. I sure hope you enjoyed hearing from the parents of the entrepreneurial students and gained some encouragement of how you can encourage their ideas, their passions, their interests, and encourage them to start a microbusiness. Head on over to Microbusiness for Teens, where you're going to find some books and videos, blog posts, audios, and resources to help your student follow their passion or whatever their interest is. Hey, and if you've enjoyed this podcast, would you please do me a favor and go leave a positive review over at iTunes? Look at the show notes over at dollarsandcentsshow.com. Look for this episode or any of the episodes you find interesting, but this episode's number 29, and I'll have some instructions in there about how you can go leave a review at iTunes. Or if you're at dollarsandcentsshow.com, click on the iTunes logo in the upper left-hand corner. It's the purple one that looks a little bit like a microphone. Or if you have read and enjoyed any of the Micro Business for Teens books, boy, I sure'd appreciate a review on Amazon for those books as well. I thank you so much for encouraging my podcast. Leave a comment, leave questions, and leave reviews. That really helps me a lot. I appreciate it. And I hope you can encourage your students to think outside the box and pursue their passions. Thanks for joining me, everybody. We'll see you next time here at the Dollars and Cents Show.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.